The text is gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it's not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Here ends the gospel. Here ends the text. I recently told someone that I thought the perfect text for Life Sunday would be Herod's slaughtering of the babes of Bethlehem. I might be wrong. This text could be better. It's about two kinds of little ones that have to do with one another in the matter of abortion. But the text clearly states that the law of God, that little ones are not to be despised. This chapter opened with Jesus taking a little child and setting him in the midst of the disciples. This Greek word for child means someone under the age of 7, and in the New Testament, it's used for an infant. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones," commands Jesus. He forbids it be done at all, at any time. Yet we do it all of the time, don't we? Sure we do. When speaking of abortion, we must not think it's someone else's sin. It's ours. We're guilty of despising children. The lowest paid jobs in our society are those caring for children. The prejudice against raising children that led the ancients to use slaves to nurse their children for them, that's alive and well in us. Raising children is not sophisticated enough for our society. A woman who does is a just. Just a housewife, just a homemaker, just a mom. Of course, there's no greater way to despise than to kill. But please see that killing, as horrendous, as heinous, as horrible as it is not a difference in kind from our subtle despising of little ones. No, it's a difference in degree. Seeing children as a burden, well, that's the first step in seeing them as a burden that can be removed. Seeing children as something that can be wanted or not is the first step in seeing them as unwanted. Seeing children as a choice we make leads to the so-called pro-choice position, which despises little ones to the point of killing them. But again, it's our sin too. And what a scary sin to be involved in. It's scary on many levels. Here in the United States, we abort 30% of our babies. Our society puts up with this because collectively, we don't view children as an asset, but a liability. Neither cattle ranchers nor farmers willfully destroy 30% of their cattle or crops. That would be foolish. And it's scary that we've gotten to the point of believing that doing that with children is not foolish. Over 44 million babies have been aborted in the U.S. since 1973. 44 million babies God put here in His wisdom, men have taken away in theirs. Oh, sure, some of those 44 million would have been criminals, serial killers. One might have been the next Hitler. But statistically speaking, the number of criminals is smaller than the number of productive people. And while the next Hitler may very well have been aborted, he might not have been. Maybe we aborted the next Churchill, the next Patton, the next Madame Curie. Despising little ones by abortion is scary because we really don't know the full consequences to society or to the mothers. Not even modern medicine can remove the baby God has so well protected in the womb without putting the mother at risk. Well, we are much more efficient now than in the days when they used poison. Abortion still radically impacts the mother's body, setting her up for complications later in life. And even Even if the mother manages to escape the physical complications, the emotional ones remain. When you abort a mother's baby, you don't remove her motherhood. You remove her baby, making her a mother of a dead baby. But none of these consequences are why Jesus says we aren't to despise little ones. The reason he gives is because they're angels. Always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. This is a threat. You despise little ones, you answer to the angels. This goes for little ones in the womb. The angel Gabriel knew both John and Jesus in the womb. Angels know the unborn. God knows the unborn. Only men in their wisdom are ignorant of them. The law of God says, thou shalt not despise little ones. The will of God is pro-life. That's what Jesus says. He says, it's not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Pro-life is not a political position. It is God's position. So if you are pro-choice, I'm not saying rethink your position. I'm saying repent. Repent of it, lest the judgment of God via his angels break out against you. You know, that's what happened in the case of Egypt. The Egyptians despised God's babies by throwing them out. And in the end, God sent an angel to destroy their firstborn sons. God is seriously pro-life. God's more seriously pro-life than any of us think. He's serious about saving the lives of the despised little ones and even the lives of the little ones who despise them. You can be little in the sense of age, and you can be little in regard to the faith. When Jesus says it's not the will of the Father that one of these little ones should perish, he speaks of the physical death of babies and of the eternal death of those who willfully despise them. God is not willing that any should perish eternally. He wants all to come to repentance, says Peter. And it's amazing to what lengths, what depths, what heights, what breadths he will go to bring this about. See, many of us can work ourselves up into a fine lather thinking of the just judgments God will bring upon the abortionists and the women who dare to destroy their own babies. But how many of us can do likewise thinking of the salvation that Jesus wants to bring to them? Do we cry over them as Jesus cried over Jerusalem that would crucify him? Do we yearn for the salvation of murderers as Jesus did? No, we don't, and that's partially because we think the parable of the lost sheep makes sense. It makes sense for a shepherd to leave 99 sheep on the mountains for the sake of the one lost one. No, that makes no sense. Which one of you, having $100 and $1 bills, leaves your stack of cash on the store counter to chase after that $1 bill that blew out the door? That would make no sense. That's giving up not just two birds in the hand, but 99. For the one that you might get in the bush. It makes absolutely no sense for God the Father to love us who despise little ones the way we do. It makes even less sense for him to give up his only beloved son Jesus just so he could claim us. Yet that was the choice before him. God the Father could claim us, renegade sons and daughters, or he could claim his reverent son. He could claim us who bite the hand who feeds us, or he could claim his son who stretched out its hands to be nailed to a cross in obedience to him. And the Father says, I choose you. I choose you who've despised the little ones. I choose you who've hurt the little ones. I choose you who aborted the little ones. And so the Good Shepherd, contrary to all reason, set out to find us lost sheep. He did this by becoming a holy, spotless lamb. He became one of us. He took on our flesh and blood. He took on all our obligations. He lived in our life in this fallen world where sin, death, and the devil lurk around every corner waiting to devour us. But they devoured him instead. While never being guilty of committing a sin, God the Father made him to be sin. While being the Lord of life in flesh and blood, death devoured his flesh and blood. While being able to withstand every temptation of the devil, his own Father nevertheless handed him over to the devil on the cross. Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, including the sin of despising and aborting the little ones, did not open his mouth on the cross to protest, but only to forgive. Now that's crazy, and that's the gospel. The gospel is not that God loves life, though of course this is true. The gospel is that the Father redeems real sinners. He does not redeem good people. He does not redeem pretend sinners. He doesn't redeem or buy back people who have nothing to be bought back from. He doesn't redeem the 99 people who don't need it, but the one who does. The Father sent Jesus to the cross to pay for sinners guilty of shedding the blood of babies, and so bought back people not just in bondage to sin and death, but those in bondage to the devil himself. Now, if that's whom God the Father redeemed by the holy precious blood and innocent death of his Son, you can be sure that's whom God the Good Shepherd is seeking out now through the church. The Good Shepherd's not in search of the 99 who don't need finding. He's in search of those who think they know. He's not in search of those who think they know the way back to the fold. He's in search of the lost. The Good Shepherd strides out from us in every word of law that confronts people with their sin, and in every word of gospel that shows them he's their Savior. The Good Shepherd is at work when lost souls see the blood of a little one on his hands and the blood of Jesus washing that blood forever away. The Good Shepherd is at work when a lost soul sees she sees the sin she thought unforgivable forgiven for Jesus' sake. The Good Shepherd is at work when people who thought they were big enough to despise little ones, when people who thought they were big enough to handle the consequences of abortion, when people who thought they were big enough to go against the will of the Father, the Good Shepherd is at work when these big people see that they really are the little ones whom the Father doesn't want to perish eternally. There's the solution to abortion. It does not rest on who gets picked to the Supreme Court. Abortion predates the Supreme Court in the United States. It dates to the fall. Men and women are not delivered from the fall into sin or from particular sins like despising little ones by laws. If God's laws can't do that, as St. Paul says, it can't, then certainly no law of men is going to do it either. Only the gospel delivers sinners from sins, only by leading men, women, and children to see that they are the little ones for whom the Father gave up his Son, will they be able to see the value of the little ones. Once they see that for Christ's sake, they have a guardian angel that always beholds the face of the Father, then they're able to see that little ones do too. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing the offertory on page 9.